Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The last good album was Mother's Milk. I'm going to go out on a branch and say that. I'm just going to go there. I'm going to die.
I like all their stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't?
No. There were some songs that were really cheesy for a while there. And if I heard Under the Bridge one more time, I think I was going to scream because they sang it a lot. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we begin, let's take a moment to mention that we are in the midst of the greatest summer ever. That's right. Pack Filler Gooder summer promotion is fully underway. We have a limited number of special codes. I know you keep saying, Pat keeps saying limited number. I think we're getting down there. Special codes for you to use to make your face look better than it ever has. So using the one-time code of PACKFILLER1515, you, the friends of PACKFILLER, can receive a 15% discount on what is already the most affordable yet high-quality eyewear on the market. Brilliant designs, colors, special edition releases. Jack must be here because my dog hears him. That you can afford to wear multiple styles all summer long. Get to packfiller.com, click the link to Gooder, and be sure to use the code on your one-time discount using the Packfiller Gooder Summer. So, while we wait on Jack to show up in person,
there you are.
Let's start the show. You let a fucking bug in. And you let out all my AC. Oh, the irony is what you just opened is on tap.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I just go over here and pretend?
Yeah. Spill a little in the drip tray. Hey, it has arrived. The post-tour depression has settled in. Well, at least it has for me. But hey, not only do we have a race to reflect on, we also have the women's tour. We have San Sebastian this weekend. I think I'm right with San Sebastian this weekend, isn't it? Yeah. And, well, your friends here at the Packfiller to share in our post-race depression. Welcome to Life on Two Wheels. Welcome to the Packfiller Podcast. I'm Pat Bulger. The gang is here, and boy, do we have some catching up to do. So, gentlemen, when I introduce you, please respond to the following question. If everyone came with a warning label, what was yours say? If you had a warning label on your forehead, or you had to hand it to somebody when you first met them, what would your warning label say? Is everything working, Jack?
Yep.
Cool. You sure?
Yep.
All right. First off, he's the only guy I know who personally can ride 3 hours in sweltering heat, have 2 beers, and still find a way to be productive, Mr. Paul Main.
Pat, how you doing?
Good, and you, man?
All right.
I don't know. You were like, we left that ride, and you were like, yeah, I got to go do some shit.
And I did.
Yeah, and I didn't. I got home, and I slept.
Yeah. The heat doesn't bother me.
Oh.
Cold doesn't bother me, except I'm miserable in my hands.
Yeah, your hands. If you had a warning label, what would it be?
Flammable gas on board. Without a doubt. You can ask my kids.
I believe that one might have won right out of the gate. We haven't even got to anybody
else. Do you fart in bed and pull the sheets over your
Dutch
wife's
oven?
Head?
Dutch oven?
No, not with my wife.
Yeah.
No. I tried that once.
She'd kill you.
Once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You survived it.
You don't hang me on a hook.
Yeah.
My mother hung me on a hook once.
Once.
Once. Johnny Dangerously.
Yeah.
Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Can't remember.
It was good cheesy,
show.
But good.
It was terribly cheesy, but
yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Second off, he's the guy, only guy I know who very likely spends more time in his car than he does his own bed, Mr. Jack Broadhead.
Oh.
I'm just talking about how much you drive all
yeah.
over the place.
I'm
man.
A driver.
Yeah.
I should get an Uber.
You're not a literal driver, but you, I mean, 2 days ago you were in Vancouver and now you're back here. And how
yeah,
long
well, I was
here
in Hoquiam. I went Hoquiam. Vancouver, Hoquiam, did a little work, came over here this morning. Yeah.
Shit, man.
Uh-oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Don't answer
shit,
the call to Phil.
No. Nope.
If you had a warning label.
I got to put it in the right spot.
It's on vibrate mode.
Oh. Jack gets perky at certain points
yeah.
through the show. Jack, if you had a warning label, what would it read?
May make a left turn without warning.
Is
that a warning label? Like
yeah.
farm equipment.
Unexpected. Unexpected
farm,
left turns.
Equipment.
Poor timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor timing.
Poor timing.
Oh! Jack! That was horrible timing, and we're going to tell you why it was horrible.
Yeah,
timing.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up.
No, it's just to the people in the studio right now, so that's okay.
Okay, good.
You just insulted one of us. You didn't like
Oh, I don't give a shit about
that.
Yeah,
that's
fine. Yeah. Well, fine.
So why don't we get to him? So third, he's the only guy here who has crashed in the past week, Mr. Jackson Bulger.
Yeah.
How are you, man?
I am okay. I'm doing all right.
Seriously, how are you?
I'm all right.
Right?
Yep.
Jack's got a little road rash. We're going to get to the story here
yes.
shortly.
Is this your first time?
No. It's I've had a couple, but this
for this type of incident, yes.
Yeah, this is probably the worst one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, the time you went down in that crit outside of Hoquiam.
In Elma.
That was bad.
Yeah.
He's described that before.
You basically looked like you came off at cheese grater.
You should have seen me the other day.
Were you pretty bad?
Yeah. But we'll get to it, obviously. My warning sign...
warning sign.
Or my warning, whatever. Warning
unable
label.
To make commitments.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me.
Probably will forget a lot that you say.
Do you?
Yeah, I forget a lot of stuff. I get caught up in my own world and I just forget.
Fuck, you got that from me.
Yeah.
I apologize. I so apologize. You definitely got that from me.
No, it's okay. It's, you know. Blissfully
names,
in my own world.
Names, things like
I'm
that.
I'm bad at names.
I'm bad at names. I'm bad at certain things. And I just, I mean no offense to people, but sometimes I just get, and I just disappear. And
see,
I just don't pay attention.
You know, it's not names necessarily. It's more like things to do.
Oh.
I always forget that I have to do some stuff.
Oh.
Or like pick up something or bring something. I always forget that.
Mm. I'm a king at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife reminds me I'm good at it, too.
So there you go. I think
all
we all need that one.
Yeah.
It's part of being a guy.
Mine's selective hearing, though.
Huh?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is selective hearing when my wife tells me people are coming to the house. Mm-hmm. Most likely people from her family. And I don't mean that bad. I love her family. But a lot of times I'm like, wait, what? When did you tell me this? She's like, 30 fucking times. Really? No, you didn't. But she does the same thing. Me, I'm the only guy here with two beers on tap in the studio, yet only usually still drinks one beer a day.
Huh.
On top of other things. I mean,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
The Jameson.
You're just trying to make friends.
It's a desperate cry for attention, isn't it? That's kind of why people start a podcast. So
yeah.
I guess, you know, I'm just fitting the bill. While they won't listen to me, maybe they'll come to my house and drink. If I had a warning label, it would simply say, always judging your behavior.
Mm.
Because but I would never say anything out loud about it. But
just
I
on
do.
A podcast.
No, well, I do. I'm a judgmental fuck. I will admit that I'm a huge believer in common courtesy, and when I don't see it, I grumble to myself, and my wife hears it, and she goes, "Shut the fuck up!" And I'm like, "I know, I can't help it.
I'm judging right now.
Yeah, I'm judging." So let's get to it. I do want to talk about who rode this past week. I know, Jack, hopefully you probably rode like 6 of the 7 days.
They did.
Yep. You did?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. We got 6 and an 8 mile run on the 7th day on one of the days.
With the spousal unit.
With the spousal unit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like, we were schedule wise, we had to do something and it was easier to just, when I leave for a ride, sometimes I'm gone too, not necessarily too long, but we had a schedule to keep, and I'm like, okay, I'll just go with you.
Okay. So
that we were tethered.
I was going to actually, I will go next because I was going to bring that. Actually, no, I'm going to get to that later, but hold that thought.
Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
Paul, how'd your ride week go?
I just got the two, one by myself and the one that you and I did. And I was so happy because my heart rate was at fat burning slow. I had 37%. And I need that because I'm the heaviest I've been in 20 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We had a couple conversations during that ride. One was, you know, the fact that we both realized we were both tired.
Yeah.
And it was kind of nice for once to go on a bike ride where we weren't just like going, just out of nowhere, somebody lights a firecracker off and it's like, then you keep going and there's never really a decision of when something's going to start or when something's going to end. You just keep going until somebody either cries or throws
in the towel.
Yeah. Mm. But that was one of the first rides I've ever been on with you where you actually were like, I feel like shit. Let's just kind of casually ride this thing. That blew me away.
You're like, Oh yeah.
He's still dropping
1,000%.
Yeah. We did 4 mounts. He's still dropping on that huge climb, which is that when you're riding those climbs and it's super hot and you're going the same speed as the tailwind,
hot as hell.
That sucks.
Yep.
And it's completely exposed.
Nothing worse than a tailwind on a hot day.
That was terrible. And I forgot what the other thing I was going to talk about with you. That's just how short my attention span is. Jackson, again.
Oh, we had good beers afterwards.
We did. Mm-hmm. We had delicious beers afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I was completely drenched on the beer patio. And I was glad that nobody told me to leave because I was disgusting. But I finished a ride like that. And my pores just open up. It's just like
dumps.
Boo! And I'm just this, I'm just swamp thing in the corner just going, just give me a minute. It was so bad. But then oh my God. And the first sip of that beer was just.
Where was that?
Benedito's.
Yeah. Nice. First, so you didn't have to get far home.
Me? No.
Yeah. Well, you. No.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to encourage.
You could walk in your cleats.
I'm not going to encourage drinking and riding, but sometimes those rides home are kind of funny. Yeah. Jackson, let's get to it. You've got a story to tell, my friend, because the ride on Saturday was. Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Was your brainchild. We were, you know, you were one banging the drum, and we all decided upon a time to meet. And I would like to say that I take partial blame in where the story's going to go because I moved up the ride time because I said I'm not doing the show with John Galloway and David Stanley today because we want to do it after the race is over. Let's bump up the ride. So we bumped up the ride.
Boom,
Jackson.
Yeah, so I was really excited for this because I have been on soon-to-be in-law wedding. So one of my fiance's siblings is getting married soon. And so I've been doing a lot of stuff involving that. So I haven't really been able to ride that much in the month of July. So I had done something on Wednesday, and then I was excited for this because I hadn't ridden with you guys in a while. And so... Yeah, I planned it. I picked the route. We all decided on that time and then we switched it a little bit. But
yeah,
I was excited for it. I was coming down. I live probably the farthest, as we've talked about before.
You do, yeah.
So I was just coming down. I made it five, six blocks, if that, probably even four. And then I was coming up to a stoplight and I saw this grouping of cars and I was in the bike lane and I looked over and I always look on the right side to see if there's turn signals on just to make sure, and I hadn't seen one and I had this weird like Paul, you and I talked about it, that sixth sense of like I had this weird
Peter tingle.
Yeah, exactly. It's my Peter tingle. The hair on the back of my neck was standing up right when I started passing cars. And then at the last second, I saw somebody flick one on and we met at the same time. Oh, and shit. I thought as the car turned, I was like, there's no chance I can really stop. And so exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as those noises, luckily. But I... they started to turn right, and I leaned into the car, and I thought, oh, I can keep this up. You know, I thought I had a good enough handle on it. But it was going... I was probably going 20 miles an hour, probably faster than that.
Yeah.
And I was leaning, and then they kept going, and then I had nothing else to lean against, and I just smacked against the ground. So bad so that I started pretty much wailing on the ground. Like, it was like one of those, like, rolling around on the ground type of moments where it, like, it hurts so bad.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, people were really great. People got out of their cars. There was a guy trying to turn left on, like, he was in the turn lane. And he was the first car in the turn lane. He got out. He put his car in park and, like, made everybody else wait. He was making sure I was okay. But I immediately sat up and I was, like, I felt around and I was, like, I looked at my elbow and I knew my shoulder and hip were pretty, like, were pretty sore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was able to stand up. The guy who, like, turned, got out of his car and was really, like, apologetic. He was super sorry.
Exchange information. Too,
yes.
Right.
Yes, yeah. For some reason, polite nature, I went up and I shook it. I shook their hand and I said, it's okay. And
wait until you get my bill.
Yeah.
You get a BMC. You get a BMC. Everybody gets a new bike.
Yeah. But no, it was, I was just happy that it was okay. I stood up and I immediately went to my bike. Because that was the thing that I knew I was okay. If I stood up, I knew I was okay. And I picked up my bike. My right lever had gone in a little bit, and I could just smack it back out.
Sure.
The hoods are pretty torn, so I ordered new ones. But that was it. No paint chip, no flat tires, nothing happened.
I'm still the only one who chipped his paint.
Yeah.
A car fucking chip his paint.
Yeah.
But I chipped his paint.
Yeah. But yeah, now I just have some, you know, some pretty intense road rash. Yeah, that's about it.
How's the kit?
You know, it was funny because I was thinking, oh, I should wear the Arrive kit today because it's going to be sunny. And if I wear a dark kit, then I'll just attract more sun. But I wore like the black, you know, the black pack filler kit that you gave me?
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And so I wore that jersey with our old shorts, the Castelli shorts.
Yeah.
The jersey shredded.
I've got more.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the jersey, the shoulder didn't shred, the side didn't shred. It was the pockets.
Really?
Where I hold my pump, it just tore that one.
Wow.
My shorts, I'm going to say it, big up to Castelli because
They're good still.
They didn't even get close to shredding at all. No tears, just a little bit of my own bodily fluids on them. But
oh yeah,
that's about it.
Let me ask you this. Is this your first incident with a car in your cycling career?
Yeah.
Like training.
Uh-huh.
First training accident.
Yeah, yeah. I've never made a collision with a car.
Tell me, did it, and I mean, I'm sure there are some people out there who've had them, who've not had them at all, things like that. Does it change you? I don't know. Have you ridden since?
I haven't been like physically able to.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, okay. But I mean, mentally, are there any thoughts of there, any, you know, gun shy? Are there any things like that, that, you know, in the back of your head or something like that?
You know, it's funny. I got back and, I was telling my fiance that it's like, I'm not scared to go back out.
Yeah.
That's not it. It's just like, it hurt.
Yeah.
That was it.
It shook you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really that bad.
Really?
Weirdly enough.
Really?
It was more like, it just kind of hurt. That was really the thing that like was the worst. When I went into it, I was really calm. Really calm when I touched the car, everything. Even when I stood up, I never freaked out. It was just like, oh, okay. Now I just kind of, after it all happened, I knew immediately right when I sat up. Even when I hit the ground, I knew that it was fine. I didn't break anything. Yeah. I knew that I fell correctly. Nothing. It wasn't fast enough to a point where I was like, I probably like broke something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I've talked to all you guys about this, but there comes a time in your cycling life where a almost different, I mean, and you mentioned it, a seventh sense or, you know, whatever it might be, comes into play where you start to look at a car and it's just driving and you can think to yourself, there becomes this instinctual signal that just becomes where you can look at a car and go, that person doesn't see me, their signal's not on, but I know they're going to turn in front of me. Mm-hmm. And you can almost read traffic that way. Do you guys experience that? Am I just blowing smoke in my ass?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just, you know, subconscious. When I see a car coming to an intersection, I look at the driver. If they don't make eye contact,
yeah,
there's a problem, because they will see you. I mean, if they see you, they'll kind of make eye contact, but mm-hmm. Especially when you start getting closer to the intersection. So that's always it. But when you're like in Jackson's situation, where you're coming from behind, you have the bike lane,
yeah,
and mm-hmm. you do the best you can. You're looking at all those turn signals. That's kind of yeah. hard.
Oh,
because,
man.
You know, he probably went, oh, this is my
yeah. You're expecting that's what it was. The yeah. driver should be aware that they're crossing in front of, you know, mm-hmm. a cyclist that they've passed. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. like yeah. a no-brainer. I ran into that recently in Vancouver where, I mean, a semi, like, was behind me, blew past me, and took the first right turn.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, what the fuck? I mean, yeah. you know, I was, but again, I'm aware, like Pat said, you've been through a couple incidences and then you expect something. You're just on your guard mm-hmm. knowing that this may happen and you can survive the, you know, take a right, hit the brakes, whatever. But it definitely looked
like I had a woman in a motorcycle actually do it and apologize to me while she was doing it. She was just like, sorry, as she was going by in a Harley that was pink, way too big of a bike for her. You could tell. I mean, it was like she had no physical control over this beast.
Little whiskey throttle.
Yeah. Just like, well, her fucking accountant husband probably yeah. bought it for yeah. her. You know, like,
head out and die.
We're
lady.
Gonna get cool. It's yeah. like, why are you calling me babe? You're an accountant. Sorry, darling. We're gonna do this, but when we go, I'm gonna talk to you like, hey, babe. You know, and it was just, and she just was like, sorry. I could tell she had no control of the device, and I honestly wanted
he's
to
so
tell
judgy.
Her to fuck off. I am.
He's judging her.
I yeah. was. Oh that God! Is, but I saw her. I yeah. saw her, and she came slowly by me, uh-huh. and I saw her kind of look at me, and I went, she's gonna fucking cut me off, and she did. And it's just, you develop that sense.
You should have rode along with her and said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But,
sorry, right back at you.
Hooker bars.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So sorry. Turn off the bike.
Jay, I'm you know, I don't want to belittle what you dealt with, but I'm so glad it was an incident where it was get up, walk away yeah. from. You know, there are too many times, and I don't want to turn this show, we got a Tour de France to talk about, but there are so many times in our cycling world where we hear stories of car versus bike where it just, it's too much, you know, and I would love to go into depth about the fact that there's such a cultural misunderstanding and lack of understanding, you know, when you see people out there who don't give a flying fuck about us, who don't see us as actual human beings, who think you don't pay taxes on these roads. Mm. I own a fucking car and a house, you twat, you know, and it's just
and an RV.
And an RV. Yeah. Yeah. So kiss my ass, you know, and it's just, it makes me so angry sometimes, but sorry, off soapbox. Anybody want to finish that off or should I get to the tour?
Might as well get to the tour.
All right, yeah. The tour. Hey, I was going to, you know what, and I'll bring this up some other time. But because of Jack, and still because of Jack, I did a couple trail runs this week.
No.
And I don't know why, but I'm
because
annoying,
of
but,
me.
Yeah. So let's get to the show.
I'm rubbing off on
well,
him.
I'm sure everybody's done some serious reflecting
stupid
on the
stuff.
Tour. Yeah, exactly. Some serious reflecting on the tour. I'm also sure that every podcast has done the same. In terms of post-tour reflections and things like that. Here we are on Tuesday. Tour ended several days ago, but I don't want to repeat what everybody else is saying here, so we're going to keep things a little bit more open. So I'm going to throw just random kind of larger arching questions at you, I guess we could go, and I'm going to just see what you guys have to have from takeaways from this, the 2022 Tour de France, for the men, at least. We're going to get to the women here shortly. But in terms of kind of rapid response, biggest surprise of the race, if you had to come up with some gigantic what moment, and there were a lot of them, I would like to think, of this tour, what would be your biggest surprise of the race? I'll let Jackson go first.
I think Jonas Vingegaard is pretty obvious, but I think that's too obvious. And I'm going to say mm-hmm. Geraint Thomas. I think he rode probably one of the best races he's ever ridden. And I guarantee that this Geraint would probably blow the 2018 Geraint out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have won that tour. If he had this form in 2018, I think he probably would have won it by like 5 or 6 minutes.
That's a very interesting point about so many things, especially how the sport has changed.
Yeah.
I don't mean for, you know, higher performance levels or anything like that. I just mean how the dynamic of the sport has changed. Jackson, since you said it, does Ineos walk away from the tour? I asked this on the other show. Does Ineos walk away from the tour happy in your mind?
I think they will. Because I don't think they ever thought, I don't know if they ever thought they would win this tour without Bernal, but they got a pretty big stage win from Pidcock.
Best team.
Yeah, best team, yep. And third overall. I think they'll be pretty proud of that. I think they're going to be disappointed with Ghana, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They were hoping for a stage.
I think they probably wanted him to win that,
yeah.
Win a time trial.
Okay. Jack, biggest surprise of the tour.
Pogacar being fallible.
Human.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is,
you almost expect him to look like one of those guys in that John Carpenter movie, They Live, you know, where you put the sunglasses on and he's got the robot face behind it. You guys know what movie I'm talking about? It's a fucking terrible movie with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh yeah.
The wrestler.
You seen the movie?
No.
You haven't seen the movie?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Listeners at home, They Live. If you guys want to waste about 2 hours. Sorry, I rambled.
It's fine.
Todd A's weakness.
Well, so just, I mean, they always say, you know, everybody's going to have a bad day, and he hasn't had one in two tours prior to this that I remember anyway.
No.
And he had like 3 bad days, if you think about it. I mean, the time trial, he was a shoo-in for the time trial in a way. I mean, he should have destroyed. Everybody was like, oh, you know, I've said it too. You know, Jonas needed a couple minutes on Pogacar to guarantee a tour win.
That's what we were all thinking.
He fucking destroyed Pogacar.
Yeah.
So that's like 3 bad days. But the wonderful thing about it is Tadej proved to be, for his age, an amazing sportsman.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, just how they were with each other from start, from, you know, when Jonas took over to the end, really showed class that you know, we talk about all the time on the show where, you know, the old guard and the way it used to be and all that and how it's all gone. I kind of have to think it's maybe different, and it's the traditions are still can be, you know, upheld by these young guys, you know. So it was amazing.
I'll ask you this as a follow-up.
I think I like him more, Pogacar more, even though I was rooting against him, than I did, you know, at the beginning of the tour, just because of how he presented himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I'll ask you this as a follow-up. Jackson, I got a follow-up. I'll ask you, were there any villains in the race? Were there any people you were rooting completely against that you thought were bad guys or... You know, we can all probably think of riders in the past who were like, anybody but that motherfucker. You know, were there anybody in this tour that you were like, no, please not?
Not any of the GCs and not certainly. I mean, you know, there's definitely some sprinter rivalries and stuff. Sure. That was all very interesting. But I would say I rooted the most against Pogacar.
You did?
Because of the David and Goliath thing he's got going on.
Yeah.
Everybody for... You know, now 3 years has been talking about him being indestructible.
Yeah.
And so then my natural instinct is to root for a David.
An underdog.
A Goliath.
Yeah.
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 And I saw Vingegaard as a potential podium guy. He just turned out. I mean, so I would have to say not so much villain, but I hoped...
I,
Pogacar would be
fallible. Guess what I'm saying? It's just like, it seemed like there was such professionalism. Everybody's just like
extreme.
Going, oh my God, that was brutal. Hey man, great job.
Yeah, patting each other on the back.
And they're making snarky comments to each other on Twitter.
And a lot and of just, the, even the, after the sprint stages. And I think the show, the professionalism in the peloton right now is high. It's at its highest in a long time.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect moment. This is a Camelot
everybody's
moment.
Sort of rooting or rooting for each other, proud, happy, amazed, complimenting people. Yeah. So,
Paul, biggest surprise?
I would say Jumbo.
This
Visma
is my rapid fire question. That's taken 12 minutes. But you know what? No, we're getting good shit out of it.
Yeah. I like the surprise was Jumbo Visma's strategy. I mean, they went out to win the yellow and the green, and they got, no one thought that's possible.
Yeah,
you know?
And they ended up with polka dot.
And the polka dot on top of that. Yeah. So
I thought Wout was going to get polka dot. That would have been amazing.
Think about it. Last year,
he almost did.
I know.
Yeah.
If Vendigo was 1 year younger, because he won it last year, he would have been in the white jersey.
Yeah.
Shit.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I admire their strategy. I like that the wow moment is this tour was like, and I mentioned to you, Pat, it's like the 80s. They were used to race. And I mentioned to you, I said, well, Jumbo Visma's director is Frans Maassen. And if anybody knows who Frans Maassen is, if you don't, he used to race with Jan Ross as his director, and that's the hardcore of the 70s, 80s attack. I mean, it was really sending people up ahead, you know, and people like, what's Wout doing? Everybody's like questioning it.
Yeah.
And even Sean Kelly's like, this doesn't make sense.
Professionals
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And the time in stage 11, when Pogacar lost all that time, you think about there's two guys up and you watch
two climbs to go,
And who was Laporte was the first one, or was it, Van Hooydonk, I can't remember, one of the two, basically set up, packed, got food, water, dropped back, here you go, giving it to Roglic and Pogacar, giving him fuel and everything.
Jonas.
So, meanwhile, here's Pogacar's totally isolated. He's lost all his teammates because... You know, he had to chase, and his teammates couldn't.
But I think he did chase unnecessarily Roglic. He chased so much. He chased so much down.
Well, you think about it, though. I mean, if Roglic still has two teammates up, so he lets them go.
Yeah.
Then those guys are coming back to pick him up, and then now, it was well played.
If he would have let him get some time... And then explosively attacked to catch Roglic. That would have been a better strategy than get on his wheel. Uh-huh. The jump. Let some time, even if you drag Jonas up with you, you're going to go through a maximum effort to get to Roglic. And then you three are together, not that group that was beating up Pogacar. He killed himself.
Yeah, he did. And he even said that he was a little bit cocky about it.
Yeah. So we mentioned teams, and Paul, you mentioned teams. So here's your follow up. We're in a world where we're talking about teams being relegated now. We're entering this almost soccer/football kind of a mentality where teams could be dropped from the world tour. Lotto Soudal, Israel Premier Tech are on the bottom end of that. So what do you? First, I'd like to ask you, and this kind of strays, but you mentioned the strength of Jumbo-Visma. What other teams do you see in danger there, and what are your thoughts on this concept of teams being dropped from the World Tour based upon their performance levels?
I think I don't know if the point system is totally fair or not. That's for somebody else to judge. I kind of like the idea. I think there's a lot of teams like. Gosh, I can't even think of
B&B Hotels is about to dump a ton of cash into it.
And so it leaves like a lot of teams that there's only 18.
Cofidis is above both of these teams.
And you can see they're starting to stack it up. They're preparing for this whole thing. So they're able to kind of like front load their, their team and stuff.
Yeah.
Alpecin, think about they were one level now, without a doubt. They're there.
They're in.
And,
yeah.
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 And,
yeah.
you know, for Lotto, soon just to be Lotto, I mean, they...
Yeah. Soudal's going to Lefebvre.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
To Quickstep. Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
Are they losing to
I think it's a good thing. You know, I don't see a problem with it, but I think through time, they'll probably fine-tune the relegation part of it. It might be a little bit heavy on the Tour wins.
Yeah.
And not enough on Classics or blah, 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 or these... other races.
Guys, did Tade lose this or did Vingegaard? I keep saying Vingegaard because that's what I'm going to say. Did Tade lose or did Vingegaard win? I know that sounds weird, but I for a while there throughout the past couple weeks, I've been asking you guys, is this Tade's Tour to lose? And we all said yes. Did Tade lose or did Vingegaard win?
I think neither. I think UAE lost it.
Really?
I think this was the Tour that showed... team versus individual, because UAE, if we're really being honest, was horrendous this Tour. I thought
really now in terms of, you know, Mark Hirschi had probably the worst. Oh, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Mark Hirschi had probably the worst Tour of his
ever.
Could be expected. Yeah, yeah, and I think he was riddled with COVID mm-hmm. and things like that. But
I think COVID killed Tade's chance at this Tour win.
Losing Bennett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think losing George Bennett was a really big deal. I think, losing Matteo Trentin the night before or whatever, that sucked. And then I think the two domestiques that really kept him in it were Brandon McNulty and Rafał Majka. Other than that, that was really the only chance he had. And then Rafał Majka couldn't finish, but he was the best domestique Tade could ask for, but I think this showed how much weaker they were after a while.
And Rafał Majka broke his chain and did not crash out the peloton and did not destroy his testicles in that main scene. I mean, I don't want to be all manly about this, but if you break a chain, your nuts are going into your stem.
No, he tore his glute though.
He tore his glute.
Yeah,
really.
That's what happened.
Mm. Oh, man.
Better than a ball.
Yeah.
So
I believe that should be your warning t-shirt. Label.
Yeah, better than a ball.
Better than a ball. It's not a warning.
So, can I say one thing about
the
team and the basically UAE being undermanned and, you know, it's a very serious race. Your protocol, like the same with Sagan. I mean, if you're not taking 100% care of your team as a whole and you're losing guys, shame on you. Yeah. And you can't just say like, oh, well, I'm not going to get COVID. You can't say that. But I guarantee there's some precautions that Jumbo took that UAE didn't, that Sagan doesn't, that some of these guys that booted. I mean, UAE lost half their team from COVID.
Yeah.
There's something very early on when Matteo didn't make the starting line.
No, he couldn't. Yeah.
That you got to like sterilize everything and go, okay, everybody's separate hotel rooms. Everybody, you know, we have 21 days to go.
Yeah.
The other thing is on the cobbled stage, Jumbo had it was a shit show. Three bike changes on Jonas.
Yeah.
Roglic going down, Wout in the middle trying to figure out who to save.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was looking like, I'm going like, this is over for Jumbo. They're the one of the best teams.
I thought that was it.
This is
I think that was it. Yeah.
And they came out shining like a diamond at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
how strong they were.
Yeah.
Total shit show to amazingness. That's pretty amazing. So,
were there anybody else who surprised you for not being up there? Any other riders? I am trying to figure out how, without Matteo Jorgensen, Movistar justifies their budget. They had an atrocious tour.
They should have brought Vandeveld. I mean,
Valverde.
Valverde.
Yeah,
sorry.
They should have brought Vandeveld.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah, come on, better.
Yeah, I know.
Horner, won a jersey?
Yes. Shit.
Sorry. Nah, Chris is just talking about what he did.
Yeah.
What he would do. Yeah. He just wants to be the director. Is there anybody else that surprised you about just like their lackluster performance, I guess I could say?
I would say almost all of Astana. Astana's always
forgot
been
that
there.
Was a team.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a time that they were in the red based upon their winnings versus their penalties and their fines?
Yeah. Well, Lutsenko was sick early, mm-hmm. and that was their man. Mm-hmm. But there was Miguel Angel Lopez. He was nowhere to be found. There was, I mean, they were never seemed like ever in a break at all. They had the worst. They were the worst team in the whole thing.
Did Lopez ride the tour?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Wow. That says something.
I was about to go to my roster and like,
I'm
fuck
sure
is
he
his
was
name
there
on
because
that's
there was
crazy.
A big doping thing behind that
oh,
too.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Oh my god.
Mm. I'll double check.
Yeah. No. I saw Premier Tech and I automatically thought that was it because Lutsenko, Badaliska, Dombrowski, Flynn, Grissom, Moscone, Gianni Moscone.
Who got COVID early and he was gone?
Did he? Velasco? Nope, he isn't on there.
No. So
he didn't make the tour.
No, he didn't make it. He's doing drug
he had a
deals,
horrible
I guess.
Tour.
Yeah. That's why we never saw him.
Oh, not as AJ Dessert had a horrible tour, except for Bob Youngles.
Yes.
Youngles.
Mr. Bob Youngles.
Yeah.
Mr. Bob Youngles. Okay.
Biggest disappointment?
No. Yeah, sure. You got one?
Jakobsen.
I was thinking that too.
He won a stage.
Fuck. Cavendish won four and didn't even train for the tour that year.
There were not that many stages for him to win.
He should have won Champs-Élysées.
I was going to say
what
the
happened?
Same
and they,
thing.
He dropped a chain.
Did he?
Yeah. He and Sagan.
Oh.
That's what happened.
You don't do that in the last lap of it.
I know. This is a problem. There's so many mechanicals that are unbelievable.
Yeah.
You notice how Paul found a way
It's 12 speed. It's 12 speed to blame.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Hey, everybody. Paul found a way to bring mechanicals into it.
Their disc brake was rubbing, and they looked down and dropped the chain.
Speaking of which, my bike went into crash mode this weekend.
See? There
and
you
then
go.
I was going to ask.
It did. My bike went into crash mode, and then I immediately was able to get it back to the big ring.
How?
Is crash mode just
limp
home? Is it limp home like a car?
It drops the rear derailleur. Home. Drops the rear derailleur to the lowest gear on the bottom. So you can get
so you
the
can do a wheel
off,
change.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
In the back.
Winter
on
Pro
my
teams,
SRAM app, I wonder if I can
you can use the front derailleur on crash mode.
When are Pro teams going to have some sort of an override program?
In the
that
team
they
car.
Can just go full.
Are they like up? Jakobsen,
just the mechanics the night before just go like, fuck this shit. We're turning off the crash mode. You know, this is bullshit.
Oh, because then the thing is
they
is then
able
you
to
have
do it from
like,
the car.
Yeah, but then competitor can go by and go.
No, I'm saying
set trick
like
crash
you
mode.
Can you can plug into the bike and change the format of the system
to eliminate the crash mode.
Yes, turn it off altogether.
Yeah, I think that would make sense because they do bike changes anyway. They don't do wheel changes.
Right.
Yeah.
A very few wheel changes.
Yeah. Can I ask also what's the fucking point of crash mode when all of us most of us throughout our lives, if we had a crash, we would get up.
Call
hopefully
our mom.
Get up. No, and shift our bike into the lowest gear before we got a wheel change. We just did that. We didn't need some robot to go, I have detected a crash. We are going to fix everything.
Ask Calvin Jones.
Yep.
Because he probably has a true answer. I know there's got to be a reason.
It's
and
fucking
it's
stupid.
To be honest with you, all manufacturers are not designing for bike racing. The stuff that we're running now is for the consumer.
Yeah.
And very rich consumers now. There's my beef.
Yeah.
Jackson, talk to me about the Americans in the race and your opinions of the Americans that were here and what we can either look forward to or what we should be concerned about, if there's any.
I think the nation...
Cut you off, Paul. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I think the nation that's probably the most active at this tour was probably North America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nation. Continent, excuse me.
Yep.
Canada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that for just U.S. riders solely, I think that should be pretty proud. They should be pretty proud of themselves. I mean, Quinn Simmons was always in a breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
Mateo Jorgensen was also always in a breakaway.
Nielsen
Palace, 4 seconds off the yellow. And fought as hard as he possibly could. I think third on, wasn't Mont Ventoux, it was
what is the what was the climb Pidcock went on?
Oh, Alpe d'Huez.
Alpe d'Huez. Yeah, third, I think, on Alpe d'Huez. Third or fourth?
Fourth.
Froome was third.
But, yeah, I thought it was really promising. I don't think we have any Grand Tour winners. Sepp Kuss has responsibilities and is probably getting paid well.
I don't think Sepp wants it right
now.
No.
Yeah. Not yet.
So, yeah, I think they should be really proud of themselves. And it's good to see an American flag.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
The North American pro races should be amazing just based on the 7, 8, 9 guys between Canada and the U.S. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really, really tough guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. I thought that it would go away post-Lance era, post the drugs and all that we're going back to crits. No one's going to Europe.
Well, we are.
All of a sudden. But all of a sudden, there's a group of guys that left.
There's more bullshit in the crits than there is in the European peloton
but,
right now.
Yeah, that left and are racing in Europe. It's amazing. There's guys that didn't make the tour teams that ride for Jumbo, that ride for, you know, other teams that didn't make the tour. So it's pretty deep, actually.
I was going to ask this one about Paul, from Paul. Talk to me about the Chris Froome situation. The crash, the recovery, the a lot of time going, why is he still doing this? Why is he still doing this? And a couple of bright moments within this tour. Would Chris Froome be best to continue on? Or should Chris just walk over, hang up his shoes and say, thanks, everybody. It's been a wonderful trip. Thank you, everybody. I got back to the pinnacle of the sport. I'm done.
Easy bailout on that answer would be only he knows.
Yeah.
But I think what he's done and has accomplished, I mean, I think all of us here at one point in time didn't enjoy his type of racing. I mean, it wasn't inspiring at all. Probably the driest type of Tour de France is when he was in charge. But he was, I mean, when he attacked... Like, I'm thinking of the Giro when he won the Giro on Zonkalon, that one descent and went solo. He had some dramatic moments, but then it was all control. So, but after he crashed, and I know a lot of people were, there was, like, of course, the haters out there saying, oh, he's just hiding from drug testing, you know, and stuff. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But the fight back, I mean, I think that's inspirational as it is. And I can't imagine anybody not rooting for him.
It's like Bernal, too, right now. Like, exactly. If Bernal comes back.
And I heard somebody said he possibly will be doing the Vuelta. And that's insane.
No way.
Wow. I'm like, I don't know about that. But I heard somebody say that's their intention.
I definitely was cheering for him. Because, and I was kind of like, when he was winning, I was like, the wife loves him. But I'm God, he's so fucking awkward, man. And, but up Alpe d'Huez, man, I was like, fucking hang
I was screaming.
On, man.
I was screaming. Yeah, I was yelling.
That's like the old guy with some crutches, with a cane, with a walker. And you're just like, come on,
grandma. Get across that road. Get across that road. You can get there before the bus hits you. Yeah.
But about that stage, I have to say, the coolest thing about the Alpe d'Huez stage was Pidcock's descent.
Oh,
he pushed. God. Get the fuck out of my way.
And if you look at his position on the descent, that is a school to learn how to corner on corners. Around corners on the descent. Yeah. I mean, if you look, his head is total level, so you get your balance, and he's a short guy anyway. He's 5 foot two or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he really is. He's that short.
Yeah.
But he's got that bike over, but his head is constantly, and he's looking down, setting up already. I mean, he's nailed it.
Mountain biking cross.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So. Something to be said about the other disciplines is about getting your bike out on every surface.
Everybody
possible.
Should try every discipline to learn. They do. I should. Doesn't mean you have to like it.
Yeah.
I've mountain biked. I've crossed. And they all suck shit. So, you know.
What?
What? I really, you know, I found the Holy Grail, which is road racing.
Okay.
Yeah. But they should. Everybody should try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Try every. I mean, BMXers, of all the people I know at BMX, like you, that's where you really, if you start young BMXing, you can handle a bike.
You guys want to know I did a BMX race once?
Once?
No.
Uh-huh.
Did you win?
No, I started second.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Finished last. Dead fucking last. I mean, I was just like, hey, this is fun. I'm fast out of the gates because I'm a big, bigger kid. Strong. You know, blah, 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 blah. Then everybody, I came to a jump and it was like,
you caught air and they're like,
yeah, exactly.
They're pumping down.
Standing around. Exactly. What the fuck is with Wout not sprinting on the Champs-Élysées? You guys, personal thoughts? Anybody? It was for a photo op, clearly for a photo op. Is anybody okay with that?
I think it's kind of boring. He was like, it was definitely for a photo op, and he probably could have won.
You think that was a team decision?
Oh yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Do you think he agreed to that team decision? Well, he did, obviously. Yeah. But do you think he was okay with that?
Well, he'd already won what, three, two, two or three?
Three.
Yeah, three. So he equaled his total for last year. But
and he had an overwhelming lead in the green jersey.
Yeah.
Or new record.
Yeah. I think it's kind of boring because I think he could have beaten Jasper Philipsen. And I also think that that was a super boring sprint. I found it like, oh, well, there goes Philipsen. Oh,
I don't know. If
I think
they
had a lot.
They moved the finish past that last corner.
Right. Yeah. It was longer.
It was another 300 meters, I think.
Yeah. For 2 years, though.
350.
That's the second year it's been that way.
Was it?
Yeah. Yep.
And with Tade and those guys jumping with a lap to go, I think it kind of fucked people up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they went out hard, and I think people weren't right. Like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Okay,
I think a lot of teams. I mean, the standard lead out, what you expect. A lot of people were battered from the last 3 weeks because this was a very fast tour, and
a hard
Jakobsen,
hilly
tour. Yeah, Jakobsen that one time. Collapse crossing just 16 seconds after the cutoff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Michael Morkow. He's.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even make it, but he finished. He knew he was behind the time limit. But this is, I'm kind of jumping ship, but this generation, I really like the way they race. I like their attitude. Vandergo reaching out and shaking after both of them almost crashed down the hill. It's like, hey, this is truce. And I've heard several journalists saying that they didn't like that. There's no narrative because everybody's a nice guy. And I mentioned to you on the ride, I was like, this is much better than what happened at Salt Lake with, in the U.S. Crit Series where they had gotten a fist fight. I'd much rather see that.
Yeah, well, but
you know what the shame is that Crit beef got probably gigantic headlines in the States.
Yeah.
Than,
we like Maury Povich.
More than
Jonas
and Tade shaking hands and being professional to each other. Because if it bleeds, it leads.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this mentality that we got to cover the drama. And that's what we're all just fucking up to our necks in.
Yeah.
I'm looking for professionalism. And what those guys showed in the moment, in the, you know, not attacking a down guy for any reason.
Yeah.
It was opportunities. You could see Pogacar attack, like on cobbles or a couple other times where it was fair.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonas was so strong, it seemed like, okay, I don't need to attack you now. I'm still.
Yeah.
He was a level ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, he the confidence for him to go, I don't need to take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even with the time trial
up ahead.
Yeah. It's like,
it was cool.
Yeah. And that was going into Otakam. That was
mm-hmm.
with one climb to go. Otakam, right?
Yeah.
When Tade crashed.
Yep. And he
had Wout up there, and he had all this, like, look, I don't need to attack.
I have two
now.
Teammates.
It's a downhill.
Up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, watching Wout drop Pogačar was the fucking highlight of my.
He only was on life for like a kilometer, I think. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen Wout pull as many faces as he did in that kilometer.
Yeah, suffering.
He, like, almost tipped over when he pulled off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cool.
Jackson, in your personal opinion, could Mark Cavendish have won anything in this tour?
Mm-hmm. I think he could have. Let's say Michael Morikawa makes it all the way to Paris. I think he would have won on the Champs-Élysées.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yep. And I think that.
Oh, my God. Would that have been a moment?
Unless you threw a chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they might have brought the wrong sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because I think Jakobsen fought, and he fought hard.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
And they got the stage.
They got.
A stage.
A
stage. They got two.
Well, the time trial is different. I mean.
Yeah, it's. But I think. I don't think that Fabio Jakobsen showed that he was the most dominant sprinter of the year. Because we were saying he'd won the most sprints mm-hmm. or just races, right? Sprints.
Races.
Going yeah, he'd this. Won the most races. I didn't see that on sprint days. I saw that Wout was better or Philipsen was better.
Philipsen
was came
consistently
out
consistently almost as good as Wout. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that Quickstep didn't set themselves up for that type of race. I think they just set themselves up to kind of felt like just to ride the tour.
It would have been a different tour with Alaphilippe and Cavendish.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been more of a
quick step. As far as cast of characters. I mean, this is the style of the race.
Yeah.
Final grade for the 2022 Tour de France, Paul Main.
I give it an A, not an A+, because I think as cool as it was in Denmark with the people and jam-packed, those are probably three stages that were kind of lackluster.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as they got into France,
unless
stage
you're Magnus
four,
Court.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool, posting up, getting his points. You
look
know, there were some highlights.
Though. I mean, Magnus Court and the winner, and starting in Denmark. Yeah. You can't
and
ask
even,
for a better story.
Even today's in the Femme.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to get to that. Jack, letter grade.
A+. A+.
Okay.
Yeah, most entertaining tour in years. I mean, you go back to the Lancers.
Yeah.
And that's just national
better,
pride.
To me, it was better than
definitely. We couldn't have predicted. Nobody predicted this.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being more special even in the end than we could have thought with a week to go with the last show.
Jackson, final grade.
I would also give it an A. There were some kind of like stages that I was like, oh, these kind of suck. Kind of the ones that were just like, oh, wow, there's a climb right at the end. And then like Wout won.
Oh, okay.
You know, some of those days I was like, oh, it's kind of like
really that's boring.
Well, it's like
I'm not a Wout fan.
I am
he
a Wout.
He picked Wout.
Yeah.
I'm just saying because, you know, it's just kind of like.
Not again.
I guess you're bored with his winning or something.
I
expect it, but.
I'm really a fan of Wout when he wins in the classics. But after a while in the Grand Tours, it's like. Oh, there's a stage with a hill at the end. Wow, it's going to win.
Wow.
Or Tade's going to win. It's just, it's kind of predictable.
Kids these days. He didn't suffer through the Miguel Indurain years and the Lance Armstrong years and this stuff
but
like that.
You know? I liked the unpredictability of the GC altogether.
Yeah.
The reason why I found that some stages were boring, like the classic season this year,
mm-hmm.
I found that some of them were very predictable. Paris-Roubaix, kind of predictable after a while. Just because. You see an attack going, you're like,
that's
a race.
That's
a
race.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I agree with you.
I will add on to about Wout winning three stages. Jumbo Visma won six. That's about a 30% of all the stages.
Yeah.
And he won half of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Guys.
Yeah.
Guy's a phenomenon. He's
exactly.
He's something
and I don't know if you guys saw Sagan's interview at the end of the race.
Uh-uh.
And so that's where I got where Jakobsen threw a chain. He threw a chain. He was right there, too. And he just said that.
What chain
I think
did they
Wout,
throw? Were they going into their little ring or what?
No.
Where's
you don't
this
want me
chain
to get
go?
Technical.
Where is it going?
Mode.
There's no room to go nowhere.
It's off the front.
Crash mode,
it's because they're running 12-speed, and they have some of the parts, the way I understand it, they're still running some 11-speed on the 12-speed on the back end. and they're not totally sticking because there's supply issue. I don't know if you guys know.
What, I got 12 speed.
Yeah.
How did how the pro tour not got you're 12
the one. You fucked over fault. Peter Sagan.
What size is your
what
big ring?
Peter Sagan ride?
Shimano. Oh,
okay,
both,
so fuck,
Shimano's.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm a SRAM guy.
Yeah, oh, they're all Shimano okay. that's having this problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to say another thing. Sagan, they asked him, I have to add this. They asked, you know, was this a tough tour for you? He goes, no, it was easy. They go, easy? He goes, absolutely. He goes, I wasn't in the green or anything.
I didn't have to
the
do
press.
Shit.
Yeah, I didn't have to. I just went back. And he goes,
so I got to go back to my room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The other last thing I got is with all the posturing people are doing for like, oh, I got second place or oh, I got third. This did not happen in the top 10. The top 10 churned.
We're
like
fighting.
Yep.
Fucking fighting. Butter. Yeah, and yeah, at the end, even with the final time trial, there are guys that lost that went out of the top 10 that guys that were out of the top 10 came into the top 10,
which made
pretty
it even
fucking
better tour.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what would you give it for? Okay.
I was gonna definitely give it a solid A, especially based upon the last 10, 15 years of the tour where we've been seeing predictability. And I don't mean to diminish the victories that these riders have taken and these riders have pulled off, but I love watching a race where within the last week, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I hate watching a race where it's like, oh, well, yeah, so-and-so attacked. You know, or there was a time trial. Miguel Indurain just took 4 minutes out of everybody in a time trial. And that's it. You know, because he can tempo those mountains.
And we all worried about Pogacar with just a 2 minute and 20 second lead. Yeah. And it became a 3 minute and 40 second lead. We all worried that
about the time
like,
trial.
It wasn't going to be enough.
Yeah.
And he fucking beat Pogacar in the time trial.
Well, I mean, have another thing to say.
Almost flew off the road.
But
another thing to say about Pogacar is I feel like as yes, he did. This was his tour to lose. I think it's also important to look at the fact that he was the second place on the green jersey competition.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The fact that nowhere near a sprinter
and he's,
got second.
I don't mean to diminish Jonas Vingegaard, but Tadej Pogacar is, in my mind, the most important rider in the sport right now.
Yep.
Look at the next 5 years.
Wout is the second.
Look
at Wout is the second, but Tadej Pogacar is the most important.
Look at the next 5 years with
sport.
These fuckers. I
mean, it's going to be.
And throw Roglic in there. Roglic, if he'd have some good luck during
Don't
the tour.
Don't throw Roglic anywhere because he'll crash.
Yeah. I know.
He's got two broken vertebrae on that last stage before he dropped out. He had two broken vertebrae and he finished.
And he still rode.
And he rode his ass off to secure a Vingegaard.
Take that,
knives in his back.
Take that, Jackson. He didn't just,
Jackson was
running with a car. He broke two vertebrae, man.
Yeah. No, they're brutes, man. They're just.
Thanks for getting the joke, man. You know what? We got to get to the final points. I hope you guys did your points tallying.
No,
did you guys tally?
I got zero. I got zero.
So
I did. I tallied all my points, and I included Tade.
I haven't had
in
the
my
time.
Points. You haven't had the time.
I haven't had time.
You
I've been riding.
Phone?
Let me see.
No,
this.
I've been riding. Just put a big fucking zero on my. No, that's the women.
Okay. Where's yours?
No, we got the
I didn't
women
bring it.
Yeah.
It's somewhere out.
Am I going to have to speed through the points?
Oh, I know mine.
I got zero, dude.
Okay. We probably have a pretty good idea.
What did you end up last week? What was your.
I don't know because I redid everything. Because last week I had forgotten.
He forgot
in most of my Tadej Pogacar points. I after all of my stages before the final jersey was tabulated because you get points for the final jersey, right? For 50 for yellow and 30 for the other ones. I had 29 points based off of all my riders based off of stage wins top 1, 2, 3. And then because I picked Tadej Pogacar, I got 30 more points, which leaves me a total of 59 points.
Nice.
I'm probably going to make Jackson go last because I have a feeling it's going to be the opposite of a crash.
So I didn't tally my points, but I can tell you I picked Roglic as the winner. I did pick Vingegaard a second, but that don't matter.
Well, you got stage points for Vingegaard.
But I did. I picked him as second.
No, you picked him as second.
Yeah,
no, you
so did
just your four riders.
Right.
Shit.
And
I
picked Matthew Vanderpoel. As my, because I thought fucking Wout. I am a way bigger Wout fan, but I thought Wout had to protect the guys, Roglic
Who's
and
your
Vingegaard.
Third rider?
Fuck, I don't know. I mean, oh, some French guy, right? I said some French guy, like fucking.
You just, that's what you said. Some French guy.
Yeah, so any French guy, I get points for.
Well, you got one.
Yeah, yeah, that's
still a port.
I know, right? So I got like 1.5 points. So fuck me.
So anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. Paul, did you get a chance?
Tommy had what, three?
Did you not get a chance to tally your points?
Yeah, well, we both kind of skipped Toddy, and we both had Toddy.
We
so
did. Everybody had, you all had Toddy, by the way. Mm-hmm. I went Roglic because I'm more like Paul.
Do you want me to go speed round?
In
speed
the heart.
Stage one, Lampert, Van Aert, Pogacar. Stage two, Jakobsen, Van Aert, Pedersen. Stage three, Groenewegen, Van Aert, Philipsen. Stage four, Van Aert, Philipsen, Laporte. Stage five. This is for everybody at home, too. They can do their points now. Simon Clark, Taco van der Hoorn, Edward Bossenhagen. Six, Pogacar, Matthews, Gadou. Seven, Pogacar, Vingegaard.
Who was second on the last one?
Matthews. Okay. Who picked him?
You did.
I did. Seven. I was on seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pogacar, Vingegaard, Roglic. Roglic? He got third? Shit. Nice job, dude. Eight. Van Aert, Matthews, Pogacar.
I got a point.
There you go.
Nine. Jungels, Castroviejo, and Verona. If any of you pick those, you're full of shit. Magnus Cort, Nick Schultz, Luis Leon Sanchez for 10. 11, I'm going quickly through the race. Jonas Vingegaard, Nairo Quintana, Romain Bardet. 12, Tom Pidcock, Louis Menkes, Chris Froome. 13, Mads Pedersen, Fred Wright, Hugo Hull. By the way, Fred Wright, that guy's a fucking stud.
Yep.
14, Michael Matthews, Bing! Alberto Bettiol, Thibaut Pinot. 15, Jasper Philipsen, Wout van Aert, Mads Pedersen. 16, Hugo Hull, Valentin Madouas, Michael Woods. Oh, God, what a heartbreaker that he couldn't finish start the last stage because he got a COVID positive.
That sucks.
The last stage. Stage 17, Tadej Pogacar, Jonas Vingegaard, Brandon McNulty. Fucking way to go, Brandon. 18. Oh, God, I almost said, let's go, Brandon.
Well, you just did.
No, he said Jonas, way to go.
But then I said
yeah,
it.
Then he just
but
said,
then
oh,
I said it. Jonas Vingegaard. So
he's going to hashtag you.
Tadej Pogacar, Wout van Aert. That stage alone. That was three. That's unbelievable. 19. Christophe Laporte, yes, for Philipsen, Alberto Dainese, or how you pronounce it. Stage 20, Wout van Aert. Jesus, Jackson, you just crushed us. Jonas Vingegaard, Tadej Pogacar.
What was the difference between Vingegaard and Wout? Like, how much did he ease up?
Anyway, stage 21, I got to get the stages done. We're running into this stage, into a show. Oh, Jasper Philipsen, Dylan Groenewegen, and Alexander Kristoff.
I will have to say that if we got to pick if we got to pick three, and I had Vingegaard in my three, I'd have tons of points.
Yeah,
well, tons of points. But we didn't pick three.
But you don't, Jack. You've got four riders total.
Would have, should have.
Paul, give me a point total.
26.
26 plus the jersey.
Oh, yeah.
The white
plus
jersey 30. Is 30 points.
Yeah. Jesus.
So you got 56. We're only off by 3 points.
Yeah.
I'll skip to Jackson.
Jackson, how did your Tour de France go?
I got 105 points.
Oh, fuck!
Doubled us up.
Yeah.
We got slapped. Almost as bad as Jack's gonna get slapped.
I will say my
if slapping is the only thing, I can handle that.
Oh, we're gonna anyway, Jack.
I will say my fiance also played this game, and she got 62 points.
So she beat you.
So she got shit.
She beat both of us, Paul.
Yeah.
You guys suck.
Yeah, we do. How'd you know? Somebody tell you? Is it on my breath?
Jack, can we only assume that you've lost?
Oh, yeah.
We could just declare it, right?
Yeah. I think it was fixed.
It's fixed. We don't have a punishment, gentlemen.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hey, can we ride like 7 days a week or something?
Should I open that to the listeners?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, what do
especially
you mean?
What they is know a who it proper is. Punishment
what
for
do you
Jack?
Want Jack to do?
And how can we document it? There we go. You guys, right. we're well into our show, but I do want to get to the fact that the Tour de France Femme of X-Swift is underway. I sent out a start list last week, and you guys have them in front of you right now. Because we're three stages in, it's going to be hard to, you know, say who
I
picked
Voss. I'm going to win this one.
Who you're going to think is going to do well. But we did the same thing. We did the overall, the sprinter, the outsider, and the opportunist. Mm-hmm. And I have to ask you guys permission because, I will start first. And for my overall, I picked because I will always pick Lisa Longo Borghini. My outsider, I picked a lot of Kopecky. I picked my opportunist, Ellen Van Dijk, who is a teammate of Lisa Longo Borghini, which might mess things up for me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I also picked as my sprinter, Marianna Voss. So I need to know if that's okay with you guys, because technically she is a team leader. But can I classify her as
she's
my
sprinter?
She's
got the green jersey.
She's got... Yellow.
She's got the green jersey too.
Yeah, that's right.
Does she?
Yeah. She's
so
been
she is now. She is in the sprint in the league.
Okay, yeah. So those are my four. That's fair. And I looked at Annemiek van Vleuten. This was before I found out she was dealing with stomach issues and things like that. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't think this is the end of Annemiek van Vleuten.
I think we're going to
see some fucking fireworks from her. But anyway, who
especially
wants
to look at the last stage?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Shit's gonna.
I
be
have
real.
Her.
Shit's gonna.
Tomorrow is gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
It's gravel.
Yeah.
No fuck. Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Strada Bianca stage. Yep.
Who wants to throw out their names?
You can tell me if does can Cassian Iwiadoma be like an outside for the GC?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
I think so.
What?
Hey, Paul said yes. Yeah. So
she should be a leader.
So
but I picked Marianna Voss. So you're okay. We'll give that.
So I picked Annemiek van Vleuten as my leader. Mm-hmm. My opportunist was actually Cecilia Uccip-Ludwig.
Oh, good. What? Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, what a horrible day they had yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get into that. Yeah, go ahead.
My sprinter, I also picked Marianna Voss.
Okay.
And then, was that it? Oh, yeah, and then my outsider was Cassian Iwiadoma for the GC.
Okay. I like those. Those are good names.
Are you still picking?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You're still picking?
No, I'm not. I got Voss, but...
You got Voss?
I got Van Vleuten.
You can't go wrong.
Longo.
If
and Borghini.
I'm tired of hearing the term goat, by the way.
Yeah,
I love Marianna Voss, but I'm tired of people saying...
Yeah, it's just comparing her to Tom Brady.
Goat. Yeah, it's just like, no, she's fucking unbelievable, but quit using that word. Anyway, Paul.
So Van Vleuten as my leader.
Yeah.
I actually went with Ludwig for my opportunist. And I know it sounds goofy, but I actually the opportunist should be Demi Vollering. So I picked her.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then Ludwig as kind of the sprinter, which he kind of did. And
Ludwig
I
paid
things,
off.
Yeah,
already.
I thought I was screwed because I already made my picks before, just to say, hey, and I didn't send it to you guys. This is who I picked.
Watching FDJ
and then I'm like,
jerseys.
Yeah,
just
you guys are
gonna
go like, yeah, well, of course you picked her because you know she won today. And then of course Voss.
Yeah.
This is my fourth.
Jack.
How can you go wrong with Voss?
Voss, sprinter winner.
He's just picking
you picked
Voss.
Voss for yeah. You picked
sacrificed one
winner.
You genuinely picked the same rider twice.
Okay,
you can pick four names, but you are only going to pick three because you just want to double stamp somebody.
Yep. Yeah, why not? I got to. If I win this, it balances out my loss in the men's race, right?
Jack, you had 0 points. I don't think it's ever going to balance it out.
I think I had one.
So you had 1 point. It's never going to balance anything out.
I went through that whole goddamn roster of top threes, and you came out with 1 point. I went through every stage. Yeah, but and I came I out with 1 point.
Vindegaard is my number two rider, and he's
one. There are no two riders. So you
to Roglic. So Jack, I mean, you know, whatever.
Jack. I'm telling and you, so, I'm throwing this to you. I'm lightly tossing it underhanded to you. No, stop for a second.
Longoborghi.
Because no, it's just you need to listen. You're picking Voss twice. You don't pick the same rider twice.
I get that, but right now she has the yellow points. And the green.
That's great.
She's really good.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it. So, yeah, that's fine.
Yep, and then Van Vleuten.
Jack, you're going to end up like riding naked for 100 fine. Miles in February.
It's fine.
Out of all the punishments here. It's just going to...
So you only picking two?
It's okay. No. I got Longoborghini and Van Vleuten.
And Voss.
So you want me to pick? You want me
no,
to pick?
You're fine.
No, I'm getting, yeah. I'm gaining I, you're, points. You're Voss, Voss. I'm just getting all the
but
points.
We all get the points.
Yeah.
Because you got Voss?
We all pick
yeah,
Voss.
We all pick Voss.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Nope.
No, that's
been said.
I spoke too
the
soon.
The vault has been closed. There we go.
It's too hot in here.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's too hot.
So
I'm
if she wins,
straight.
But talk you to guys me. Do realize if she wins the yellow and the green, and you didn't pick her for
no,
yellow.
It doesn't matter.
Then I get two jerseys.
Jack, so
we
do we.
Have.
We
so
all
we.
Picked her name.
Yeah, but that's...
So we get
I
the pick, point.
We'll give you one extra point. How about yeah. that?
I got one in the no. men's race. So.
No way. Some way, somewhere, somebody is listening to this right now just going, no! What the fuck's wrong with you?
Oh, man.
And we're all
so
just
much.
Like, yep,
so
right
much.
There with you, man. Yep. Right there with you. All right. You guys, I know this is a monumental moment in women's cycling. It's a gigantic thing. And I see people who, from my past... I see Inga Thompson there. I see, you know, how wonderful this has been for the sport. Can I ask a genuine question? Is this going to live up to the hype? And is it, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it justifiable as something that is so great? My problem is I looked at the parkour of the course, and I'm not going to lie. I looked at the parkour and I went, whoa. No, this isn't a Tour de France for the women. I don't like that it's only eight stages, and I know I shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. Oops.
Will it increase?
I don't know, and that's my thing. Does it live up to the hype? Does it live up to this monumental thing, or are we as cycling fans and fans of women's cycling just taking what we can get?
We need to interview Anna Maria.
Anna Maria is there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And God, by the way, God, please listen to her. I think she's with Cycling Tips people.
Yeah. Right? I haven't
Cycling
caught on.
Weekly.
Cycling
Weekly.
Weekly. Yeah.
Shit. Sorry. Yeah. I wish I edited because I could change that.
Yeah.
But
Cycling Weekly. Cycling
Weekly.
Weekly.
Yeah. Say it five times.
Listen
to
Anna Maria.
Yeah.
There listen to Anna Maria. And pay attention to what she's doing over there. She's doing some cool shit. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? I mean, I don't want to diminish the importance of this event, but I also don't want to say, oh, we're good. Everything's fine. The guys get a 3-week tour. The women get an 8-day.
I guess what a start. Yeah. There should be and will probably be more to come from this. I mean, we're seeing a lot of publicity about it, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's more to come. I don't think this is the end of it. I mean, obviously the race is going to keep going for years and years. With a sponsor like Zwift, it's not stopping here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like I said, more to come. I guarantee it. I guarantee it will not stay eight stages for our lifetime.
The question
you said our lifetime.
Our
lifetime. So that's good.
His lifetime.
That means
we're
going to
live as long as
that means quicker.
Yeah. The next 15 years.
So we got 15 years. So, one, is it better to start on the Champs-Élysées and have it independent?
A continuance kind of a thing?
Of it.
Yeah.
To give it its own or the B race for the men's at some point. I mean, so I think it's better to be independent. That's for one, one thought. I think it will grow. There'll be more, but there needs to be more depth. I mean, the field is pretty big, but I it's not quite as big as the men's race.
Yeah.
Maybe not 21, you know, I mean, maybe half or you know, starting a little more than eight. Eight seems a little like a U.S. type race, you know, for the Tour de France.
It's a one-week stage race.
Yeah.
It's a
but I think it needs to be more than it is right now.
It's not a grand tour. And yep. I mean, you know, that concept of a grand tour.
But I think it's important that it's not the pre-race to the men's race. It's the it's independent standalone. And
I'm glad it's not running at the same time.
Yep.
I'm really glad it's not running at the same time.
That didn't work out, did it?
No.
That's what they used to do.
I know.
Well, if you talk to had to take more Marianne, breaks because they had amateurs. The ruling back then. Well, go ahead. Plug the person you interviewed.
No, Marianne Martin would probably be like, no, I was cool with it.
Yeah, but they had, because of the ruling back then, because they had amateurs also racing in order to get the field, they had to have more rest days in that time period. Only professionals were able to do like straight 6 months. So, I mean, it's all changed. My take on everything is I always like starting small, and this is coming from almost a 60-year-old white male. So, but I do enjoy, I try and follow women's cycling, but when it's like the classics and stuff, it's I have to get up at 2 a.m., and watch the women's. And it's just like a 10-hour production to go through the women and the men's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them back on the same day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Paris-Roubaix, and I mentioned this before last year, is I thought it was the greatest thing, this precursor
before. Yeah.
It really created its own.
Oh,
and I
God.
Think,
yeah.
Personally, women's racing has different tactics than men, and that's not to say bad. I think there's some to learn from
that's
them.
That's what makes it actually really cool, exactly. Is it's not going to unfold the same way.
Yeah.
WNBA, I mean, and not to like stray, but there's huge following from WNBA, and it's not the same.
Yeah,
and it's not the same day.
And that doesn't mean it's bad.
It's not the same, everything.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if it should be or if that's what they're aiming for. And people shouldn't look at it when watching. Again, this comes from almost a 6-year-old white male. But but I think you got to start with a baseline.
I don't know where my
And after eight.
There is a camera.
The sweating out there.
There is a camera.
The more the sweat, the better.
Yeah.
Let's keep sweating out.
So. But to me, you got to start with a baseline. Everything starts with a baseline. This is eight. Survey all the riders, all the teams, everybody, and chip in. Do you want it longer? Do you want stages longer? This is where we're going to go. I like that it's after, because you talked about earlier in the show, we had the doldrums, but I don't. I'm waking up and I'm watching the women's races.
I am too. My wife walked into the TV room and into our living room on Monday and was like, wait, I thought it was over. I'm like, it is. But it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's a brand new race. And then I look at her and I say, oh, by the way, Classic San Sebastian is also this weekend. She's like going, fuck, this is never over. You're never going to work on the yard. And I went, yeah.
On the personal basis, to start where the men's ended.
Season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait till December, honey.
Yeah.
I'll be out there.
I'll mow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we saw
I won't
what
shovel
you did
the
with
snow.
The, yeah, we saw but, what you did with the driveway. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
God damn it. I had to come back.
But to me, it's like start just picking up where the men, to me, it was like a nice, feed through. The men finish there and the women take over. And they have several different courses, although they mirror some of the courses that mirror the men's. And it's not, you don't want to compare the women's race, the same courses like, oh, well, the guy, you got the redneck going, oh, guys did it like 10 minutes faster up that hill,
fuck
you know?
That. Yeah.
That type of thing. So I think a good survey afterwards. And get, I think it's a great baseline. I like what they've done, and I like that Zwift has dumped a lot into it. I think we're going to see this thing, like Jackson says, it's going to multiply. And, some guys think three weeks on a freaking bike, if it wasn't tradition, is stupid.
It is.
Yeah.
It kind of
I've
is.
Done 1 week stage races, and like, oh, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. That's, everything hurts.
Everything.
Maybe
not normal.
Maybe they should just turn it into a big bike packing tour.
Fuck that.
All right, next question.
But before we finish up, you guys, talk to me about, we all bailed on the Crit Weekend this weekend.
Thanks,
and I do have to say, I looked through the results of the Crit.
I didn't race, by the way.
I didn't see your name.
Yeah.
Either.
No. Yep.
And I have to say that I noticed that from our region, there were no names. None, not a single one. And part of me was trying to think about it, going, well, it's so far away, gas prices, it's a 35-minute crit, yada, yada, yada. And then I also thought about the fact that here we are on a platform where we're talking about the decline of bike races and things that aren't happening because people just aren't showing up. And I don't want to slap any of our hands, but I also want to wonder, yeah, but I also want to go, God damn, they're putting on races.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't show.
No.
Yep.
Neither did you. Shit.
Yeah. And I live right now in the town. I went for rides that day.
You didn't even watch the race. Fuck, you didn't support it.
No,
you're a bigger dick than I am. I'm a bigger dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to spend gas money.
In my defense, I got hit by a car, so you guys should all take
it. You would have been at the race.
Still happens.
Yeah, you
would have
been hit by a car if you're at the race.
You would have been hit by a car in a crit, which would have given you like legal repercussions.
He wouldn't have been hit by a car in the crit.
No, somebody would have swept him out in the corner.
Safe in the crit.
Yeah.
So maybe. So but I guess my point is we're not perfect people, you know, and I guess, yeah, I will speak for myself. I dropped the ball. I should have gone and raced my bike this weekend, but I didn't.
Should have.
You would have if I'd been there or Jackson.
Oh, fuck yeah.
If I would have said I'm racing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have. You'd come down.
Did you just wink at me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good wink. It was very subtle. I liked it.
I'd have put you to work, but
kind of warmed me up. No, I would have gone if somebody else would have. And that's my thing. And I don't mean that to sound like a cop out, but yeah.
Well, it is.
It's better
I'm
with
just
friends.
Not there
it
yet.
It is. You're right.
It is. It's a long drive.
And with that being said, I am putting my name down for an event which I will probably cop out on a week from this Saturday. I seriously think I am going to do the Midnight Century because I was thinking that I need something. I need an event. I need something to ride. And we started off the summer with the Chafe Grand Fondo, and I enjoyed the shit out of that, even though it hurt like hell.
Which you
like,
won.
Are you putting all your
no,
packs
I
on?
Didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I won. Did not fucking win that thing. But I am thinking, you know, I got to go out and I got to do something else. And so the Midnight Century is a great tradition in the Spokane area. It is, I think it predates gravel. Even though it is on gravel, and it's a bunch of goofballs who just casually meet, and I'm gonna take a camera and I'll play around with that, and I think I'm gonna do that. I don't want to wait to ride until midnight, but fuck it, I guess I'm gonna do it. What do you guys have on the radar? Is there something to keep your little candle lit in terms of Insta?
I said candle.
Jack,
cut him off. Cut this boy off.
What is making your little penis happy?
Oh, well, I need. Well,
sorry. Never
wait,
mind.
This is a cycling show.
I'll edit that out. I'll edit that.
Okay, so I have some fitness still to gain. Yeah. I'm only riding an hour to an hour and a half a
so
day.
So you're thinking
that's crit fitness. Right?
So you're in the next year mentality.
But
that
17
a lot of
miles
in.
Per hour is not crit. Like I have no interval training.
But
like,
Jack,
I have nothing.
You're saying what a lot of us have been saying: this next year mentality. Jackson
yeah,
and
yeah,
Paul,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sorry, you guys are the kings of this. Mm-hmm. You, Jackson, you're okay because you have a lot of next years.
We're about to die.
What are you saying?
Oh my god.
but
we're this close.
Just this, yeah. I'm tired of saying next year. I don't want to say next year anymore.
Yeah. Well, I got cross season to look forward to. I'm running and I'm riding.
You're not gonna do fucking
fuck
cross.
Yeah, I'm gonna do, I got an
cross?
Elephant.
You got a good bike.
Yeah, I got a good bike.
Yeah.
Where are you gonna do cross at? On the west side or here?
I don't know. Where's cross racing?
I don't know. Next
cross
year.
Is here. Yeah.
Paul, what you got? You have
actually,
signed up.
Yeah, and Bike Fit Sam, and I'm wearing his T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he fit you again?
Yeah, he's going to fit me on my TT bike.
On your what?
On my TT bike.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
that'll
what it is.
Fine.
So the TT is in Wenatchee. Ace, who's done. Oh, we're all out of drinks. I can't say the name.
Tour de Bloom.
Oh, you're drinking your spit then.
TDB.
Tour de Bloom.
empty glass. Who does that?
My spit tastes good.
Yeah. is putting on the state championship 40K TT. Yeah. And I have a TT bike that's been collecting dust for about 5 years. So
nice. Pat's got a bike.
that's illegal now.
Yeah, I wish I could ride it.
In USA Cycling, it's illegal. Yeah,
if I would have, if I would have lost the tour competition, I honestly would have asked them if I could pre-ride
Ace
the course. If I could pre-ride the course on that, and we videoed it as my punishment. Yeah. Hey, Jack, there's an idea.
Oh yeah,
back.
Should I ask him?
Yeah. Sore.
Yeah.
Where is this?
Wenatchee. It's a paradise.
What day?
Up to paradise. 29th of August, I believe.
Up to Paradise?
It's called Paradise Road. Oh, okay. And there's a small little town, I think, that it comes off. It's between, off the main highway between Wenatchee and
You know how many Styx lyrics were in
So all masters, technically all masters should be able to like grandfather a bike like that in.
Yeah, no kidding. I bought this in 1986.
Why can't I still race it?
And I shouldn't have to wear a helmet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the NHL.
You're going to be just Lycra on your head.
Yeah. No, just the hairnet.
Lycra.
Jackson, do you have anything on the horizon? Or are you just like... Fuck it. I crashed. I quit bike racing.
No.
That wasn't meant to be.
Oh, yeah, it was.
So
mean.
No,
yeah.
I wasn't busting
your son. That mean to you.
That's your son.
I know. Abuse. I'm allowed to.
I'm trying to physically get through the next week. But yeah, you know, I don't know what's really going to come up. There's not really any racing at all.
Volunteer park.
You know, I want to crit or not. Yeah, I want to crit and then I want to Gran Fondo. And I don't know if I want to race another 100 miles like I did.
Yeah.
Cause that's that like, it was great, but it was hard.
Yeah.
I'd rather do like road races or crits right now. And there's,
you seem to be in that roadie mentality. Right
now. Yeah. And there's really none of that right now. Yeah. So I got to wait until RC3 like next year, you know?
Shit.
So,
or
Seward Park.
Oh shoot. We're out of drinks. Because before RC3, there's another race, stage race, in Wenatchee.
There is.
I can't mention it because we don't have any more.
It's what happens when flowers produce at a certain point of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody else has anything. That really sucks. In that.
Well, I mean, there's always, we have in September.
We have the Fondo.
Yeah, right? that could be something, but you're nixing that.
Until September 1st, there's Seward Park Crit every Thursday night.
I know.
Where?
I used to love that crit.
It's a great crit course.
Where is that?
Seattle. Yeah.
Off of Lake
it's only a 3.5-hour drive.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Three and a half-hour drive for an hour's worth of racing.
For practice crit.
And actually, it's at least an hour. It's long. I'm surprised.
Yeah, for 1-2s.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised. It's over an hour or an hour. Anyway. Yeah.
Do you guys know how much more I had planned for this show? And I always do this. I write like 6 pages of questions.
What do you got to do?
What you prepare for this? Huh?
Yeah, right.
I never would have known.
But I do want to say before we sign out a gigantic.
Thank you.
Some
you gotta have
happy,
some
happy music.
Don't do that little.
No, that's too
dramatic. That's fuck somebody's funeral. I mean, that was like.
Oh.
I do want to give kudos to our good friend and fan of the show, and he's been on the show several times, to Brent. The one and only Brent Soderberg, who finished the Rift Iceland 200K with over 7,000 feet of climbing around a fucking volcano. And I know a lot of you are thinking, like, I could ride 200K with 7,000 feet of climbing. This is brutal. I mean, it's soft, it's mushy, it's, you know, it's
river
crossings.
He's on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he took footage. I can't remember his.
I hope I can say bikes, birds, and beans because I think that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bikes,
his
beans.
Instagram.
Is his Instagram. Check out what he did.
It's amazing.
Brent took great photos and congratulations, man. That was fucking cool. That's an event I would do. Oh, I'm the only guy who wants this long distance junky chatterbumps bullshit. Apparently,
with some giant pack coming out of your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah,
literally out of
I
my ass.
I saw that.
Yeah, because I'm not going to hook it to my seat post. I'm going to hook it to my ass. Hey, everybody, keep writing. Like, subscribe, tell a friend. I believe I found out that when we hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we get some sort of a like
prize.
Get a plaque.
Like a plaque. Yeah.
Oh, so,
YouTube don't care.
Yeah. What's that?
YouTube don't care.
I don't think
At 500, you get a high five. At 1,000, you get a plaque.
You get a plaque.
Yeah.
Exactly. Jackson's looking. Any commentary of anything? Like, don't look at our subscriber list.
I was trying to see how many we had.
We've got some. We don't have 1,000. Hey, everybody. Thanks. And keep riding. And cheer on the Tour de Avec. Tour de Femme Avec. Tour de France Femme Avec Swift. That's as far as I can get into that goddamn dialect.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.